of filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. This man shall be blessed in his deeds. Now, I want to lay a little thought on you right from the beginning. I want you to think about something. Amen. Your relationship to God can be measured by the same measure that you do the word. Now, I want to say it again. See, your relationship with God can be measured, see, by the same measure in which you do the word. Do the word. Amen. See, they're tied in together. It's tied in there. See. If a person have a good relationship with God, then no doubt that that person will be a doer of the word. Doer of the word and relationship all go together. Amen. If a man consistently do the word, then I guarantee you he has a great relationship with God. Now you gotta imagine what that means. You gotta imagine the value of having a good relationship with God, what it produces, what it brings to your life. Amen. Are you thinking about that? Good. We were looking into verse 2 in our last session, where the apostle James was instructing us to be doers of the word, because they are word hearers, mere listeners. Good talkers, but not doers. See, he gave us instructions, and we're going to look in verse 20, in that 22nd verse again. But you see, he gave us instructions to be doers of the word. That tells you that you don't automatically do it. He gave us instructions. But in verse 21, he was showing us our heart attitude. There's a hard attitude that's applied to that as well. See, and I'm not going back over that, but he showed us a hard attitude. Then he drops into verse 22, verse 21. He talks about the hard attitude, verse 21, and then verse 22. He says, now be doers of the word. Amen. I wish. It will happen automatically. Just like I tell you all the time, the will of God is not automatic in your life. See, you have to submit to the will of God. You have to yield to it. It's not automatic. Just like being a doer of the word. I wish that we could automatically do the word, But see, it doesn't happen like that. It doesn't work like that. You don't automatically do the word. You don't automatically do it. Wouldn't we be better off if we could automatic, if it was an automatic thing? Sure we would. Hallelujah. Now, James is saying something here that's very important, and we need to understand it. Now, I want you to catch a few things here. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, you have to think about that statement. You really have to. When you at home, and if you go over this here, just read that that 22nd verse. Let's read it. Let's read it. You got it? All right. Let's see what he says here. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. And he goes on to say, deceiving your own selves. Now, if you're going to be a serious student here, then you got to think about that. You got to think about that. In most cases, see, we don't give any thought to that. Thought to what? Being doers of the word. See, you don't give thought to that unless you embed it into your consciousness. Your mind is bombarded with all kinds of thoughts. And so to think like this, you have to train yourself. You have to train yourself to think like this. You know, give thought to the degree that I'll have consciousness of this truth. Be doers of the word. Especially in times of adverse circumstances and situations when they arise. Be doers of the word. See, I have to embed that into my consciousness. See, it's not automatically there. How many situations you had just in this week along that this week that have passed along? How many situations that you had in your life where you had to be a doer of the word? You've had a lot of situations. Now, were you a doer of the word? You don't have to answer that. So you don't have to answer that. But what I'm trying to get you to see, this thing is not automatically embedded in your consciousness. You got to put it there. Are you listening? When things are going wrong, when things look like they're just not going to work out, be a doer of the word. Whoa. Be a doer of the word. I just had a little situation. I think it was this weekend. Yeah, it was this weekend. Amen. My wife was trying to help me out. That's all she was doing. She was just trying to help me out. Trying to help me out. Trying to be a help to me. Amen. She said we were sitting down eating, and I was paying for the food, you see. And I just wanted, I know some of y'all $2 and $3 tippers. I don't believe in that, me personally. If I get good service, I want to give a good tip. So I wanted to leave this woman a nice size tip. And I asked my wife, I said, do you have $5? I had some money, but I would have to break another 20 to do what I had to do, you see. Amen. But I said, do you have a five? Immediately she asked me, what you did with them ones I gave you? And I'm thinking, whoa. Then I said, I spent the ones on you when we was eating over there. But now, what am I trying to tell you? See, I was in the midst of a little situation. You know, I felt like she had to ask me where no ones was. I just asked her for a five. You get what I'm saying? She was telling it this morning. I'm telling it now, see? So then she shut up. Her thoughts must be where she said it. I shut up. So we got in the trunk and we just went off. She's saying nothing. I'm saying nothing. We get back home. She's saying nothing. I say nothing. And this was over. Me just asking, you know. And I'm the one took the thing out of proportion. I'm the one did that. But I went in my room. She went upstairs and I went in my room, you know. And the Lord says, you need to apologize. And I'm saying, I don't think I need to apologize. You know, I don't think I need to apologize. So I went on doing what I was doing. Then it came back up again. You need to apologize. Then I said, she ain't going to accept it anyway. She mad. He said, you need to apologize. So she was upstairs. I laid down a little while. Then I decide. But now, what is my point in all of this? See, I'm not just trying to tell you my business, but I'm just saying we have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to help us to be doers of the word. Yes, sir. Amen. You see, so I laid down on that. I laid down on that little issue, you know. I just laid down on it, you know. But it wouldn't leave me. But I asked for this. I asked for this kind of life. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And so finally, I jumped up. I went upstairs. I said, give your baby a kiss. You know, that's wrong the way we do that. Y'all know that, right? She told me, I'm not kissing you. I said, well, anyway, babe, I apologize. I said, for my rude attitude. And I told her, she can tell you, I said, it wasn't even necessary. I'm sorry. Then I said, give your baby a kiss. She said, Adam, get away from me. So I did what she said. I got away from her. I went downstairs, you see. But I never gave up on my kiss. Yeah. Now, here's what happened. I had a peace after I told her what I did. I had a peace. Now, how she dealt with it after that, that was totally up to her. But I had a peace about it because I knew I was under conviction to apologize. But that's the Holy Spirit living in me, helping me to do the word. Amen. Amen. Now, I'm working on not being so stubborn when he tells me to do certain things, especially in the area of apologizing. Sometimes you just don't want to apologize, but you know you need to, but you don't want to. But you come to a place of understanding that you don't do what you want to, you do what you need to. See, it's always better to do what you need to rather than what you want to. Most of us are in the habit of doing what we want to, not what we need to. And see, that hinders us from doing the word because we become so stubborn in the things we want to do rather than what we need to do. Amen. Our first focus should be upon the fact of what we need to do rather than what we want to do. See, a lot of times what we want is motivated by the flesh. And what we need to do is motivated by the inner man, our spirit man, who has the very life and nature of God in it. Anybody understand what I'm saying here? Yes, indeed. And we need to see that. Amen. Now, be a doer and not a hearer only. You have to think, like I said, about that statement. And you got to get serious about this. You can't be casual about this. This stuff is serious. These things are serious. And so you have to have a serious approach to them to come in line with these things, you know. Can't be just a word I said or somebody else said or some doctrine. This is not about doctrine. This is about fulfilling the will and purposes of God where our lives are concerned. That's what this is about. And so it takes a serious approach to these things. I mean, serious. It takes a serious approach to them. And in most cases, now I'm not knocking you, but you're not serious enough about some of these things. And so that's why they never appear. You never find yourself acting on these things because you need a more serious approach, a more serious mindset about these kinds of things. These things hinder your life more than what you know, more than what you think. So when I tell you to think about these things in the privacy of your own time, do that. Go over that verse and then sit and think about it. Now why? So it can get into your consciousness. Amen. Now, once it get there, you give the Holy Spirit something to work with you with now. You see, that's what happened to me yesterday. I think that was yesterday. You see? I had embedded certain things into my consciousness, which allowed him to work with me. He's already in me. He's in me to work with me. But you have to give him something to work with. And so I had been teaching on this here. And not only that, see, there are times that I pass by this verse and sit down and just look at it and think about it. I'm bored. I just wish I had something to do. Pick up your Bible. Visit some of those verses that we've been teaching you and just sit there and think about them. You'll never be bored. Because once God go to talking to you about that verse, oh man, you get an illumination. A new life look like it begins to raise up in you. Amen. Now, I want you to understand that. You do understand that, right? You need to think about these things. Tell me you understand that. Okay, that's half of what we need to achieve there. Amen. Now, here's what he's saying. Here's what he's saying when he says be doers of the word. Now, I want you to pay. Now, I'm a thinker. So I do my notes as I think. So if you catch these things, you've done well. See, I didn't get this from anywhere. I believe with all my heart I got it from the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to listen. Now, here's what he's saying when he says be a doer of the word. He says, now, I want you to think about it in this light. Now, if we think that knowledge of the word is all that is necessary, then we'll fail. See, then we'll fail. Now, anytime you sit and you hear the word, you see, you should be gaining knowledge. Knowledge of the word. But now, if you think that's all that's necessary, then you're going to fail. Because just hearing it and getting knowledge from it is not the end of it. We talked to you, I think, a little bit Thursday about the process. See, becoming a doer of the word, that happens through a process. In hearing the word, it starts the process, but it's not the end of the process, because what you hear, you need to do. That's the second part of the process. Amen? Are you listening? Now, you see, sometimes you sit here and you listen, you hear me and you listen, And some of you may gain a little knowledge. Some of you don't give a hoot about it, period. But now, here's what I want you to see. If you're just gaining knowledge of the word, you know, people, you got people say, I know that. I know this. And then, you know, we sit and listen at some of these people sometimes. You say, man, they really know the word. Now, what you need to look at is how much of what they know they do. Now, I'm not trying to tell you judge people or be critical of people. But now, here's what I want you to, here's what I want you to practice doing. If a man's know the word, we're thankful to meet somebody who knows the word. But now, we need to see how much he's into what he knows. See, we need to see that. See, I was sharing with the church some, I don't remember when, but I shared this with you. You need two things to happen to be a doer of the word. First of all, you need somebody to give you an understanding of the truth that you're reading. You remember the eunuch? Philip came up to him. The eunuch was reading. He was reading the word. And then Philip asked him, do you understand what thou readest? He said, how can I? Except somebody show me. But now here's what I want you to see. See, God, if you pay attention, God has fixed the church and he has certain people in position to unveil what he's written. And someday you may become one of those person, one of those kind of people who's unveiling some of the things that God has said. See, that may be you one day. But now, the principle here, see, you need somebody to teach it to you first. The Bible says it is the first oracle of the oracles of God that somebody teach you. I didn't set it up like that. God did. Now notice what he said. Hearers of the word. Now that takes on a twofold application. I hear the preach word, the teaching, and then I hear myself in my meditation time of what was preached to me. I hear it from my teacher. I hear it from my preacher. I hear it from my pastor, whoever he is. And then I sit with what I've heard and then hear myself. Now, the depths of what you've heard comes out of you sitting down hearing yourself. All I do is cut a path for you to travel. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, here's what happens. I deliver you to you the goods to grow. But you have to deal with what was delivered in order to grow. And in most cases, people don't do that. See, in most cases, people don't do that. They just sit in here. Now notice, the people who just sit in here, their lives never change. They're the same people year after year, month after month, day after day, whatever. They're the same people. Have the same views. There's no difference in what they understand. And if there was, they would do something different. That's why you can't get into this church stuff where you're just going to church. You got to go for something. Yeah, I'm glad to see you. But that don't benefit you. And there are some people you come here just to see, but that don't benefit you. Then if you don't get into this word and allow it to get into you, then the devil tells you all kind of things about God. That's not true. Then he convinced you you're good for nothing. You see, it's a big deal to do the word. It's a big deal to do the word. Yes, it is. It is a big deal. Amen. Now, I was trying to tell you what he was saying. If you think knowledge is all that is necessary, then you'll fail. It is the door of the word that prevails. See, it is the door of the word that prevails, especially under adverse situations and circumstances. Nobody else prevail. Guarantee it. The becoming a door of the word guarantees victory in every situation that you're faced with. Guarantees it. Now, I don't know if I got this verse right. I want to show it to you for a moment. Look at Matthew. I think it's Matthew 7:14. Let's see if I got it right. That's a good one, but that ain't what I was talking about. Where is the verse that says 24, Your Majesty? That's it, Doc. You the man. Listen. Now watch what he says here. Now, remember what I was trying to get you to see? Nobody prevails. Nobody wins, even though we've been put in a position to win. But we don't win in life or win over the situations and circumstances that we deal with from day to day until you and I become doers of the word. Now, I want you to pay close attention. Now listen at what he says here. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, talking about the word, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man. Now pay attention. Which built his house upon a rock. Look at the next verse. And the rain descended. The floods came and winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was found upon a rock. Now, the rain descending, the flood came, and all that stuff, you know what it represents? It represents situations and circumstances that you face in your life from day to day. That's what it represents. But he says, if you are a doer of the word, you prevail. Amen. Not only do you prevail, but he says you're a wise man. And you're building on something solid. Now let's look at the next verse. Let's look at that next verse. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, hear the word, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto, you said, a foolish man. See, you said it, right? Foolish man. Everybody hear the word and don't do it. Now, don't get mad with me. You're foolish. You're foolish to sit under the word, hear it, and don't do it. You're foolish. That's what he says. Now, look what you're building upon. He says, hear these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Now, let's go look at the next verse. And the rain descended, circumstances, and the flood came, more circumstances, and the wind blew, more circumstances and situations, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. It fell. Huh? Hallelujah. What the next verse says? Well, that's enough of it. You got it? So, It's important. It's valuable to you to become a doer of the word. Can you see that?
Yes.
Amen. Now, let me give you a description of the doer of the word. The doer of the word takes his place as a believer. Tell your neighbor, say, take your place as a believer. Now, this is how he takes his place. By giving the word first place in his life. Now, that's easier said than done, but it can be done. What can be done? You can become a person. See, you have the ability to become a person that will give the word of God first place in your life. You can do that. You can do that. You're wired for it. If you've received Christ as your Savior, then I'm telling you, you're wired for this. You can do it. You can do it. In spite of all of the things that's coming against you, all of the things that your mind is wandering into, you can, in spite of all of that, you can do it. Be confident in the fact that you can do it. Do what? I can do the word. I can do it. Amen. If you ever needed to convince yourself of anything, you need to convince yourself of this one thing, that I can do the word. Huh? In spite of all of the weakness that I see in my life, I can do the word. I can do it. I can do it. And until you take that approach, until you take that attitude, you won't do it. See, a lot of things you can do that you don't know you can do, that you can do. If the word says you can do it, you can do it. I can do what the word says I can do. I can have everything the word says I can have. I'm convinced of that. Because first of all, we understand and we know we are believers. God does not lie. Every believer in Christ knows in his heart that God does not lie and cannot lie. Now, other people may not know that, but we know that. The believer in Christ knows that God cannot, will not lie. We know that. Nobody have to convince us of that. We already know that. That witness is born in our hearts. We don't need to read a book to tell us that. We already know that. Because we have the very life and nature of God in us. There are two things we know for sure if we're truly born again. We know that we are a child of God. And we know that our Father God cannot and will not lie to us. He don't lie to anybody. See, it's not in his nature to lie. See, lying comes from the nature of the devil. The Bible says he's the father of it. God doesn't lie. So whatever God says about me is true. Now, I have to come into agreement with God.
Yes.
I told you how, that's a twofold application again. See, my confession is the first thing. My confession of God's word bring me into agreement with him. And when I do what he says, I've carried out that agreement. Woo! Amen. See, where the deception come in at, is like, you see, we're saying we believe God, but we don't do nothing he says. So if you say you believe God and you don't do nothing he says, then you don't believe him. That's a deception. You see, it's a deception. You're deceived. Oh, I believe God can heal me. But I never act on the word for it. I believe God can meet all my needs. And we say, even according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But you don't stand on the word for it. You don't act on the word for it. See, you'll deceive. And then sometimes the other way we're deceived, see, we walk around like we have no power. We walk around like we have no ability, and the forces of darkness just overwhelms us. And we are believers. And Jesus told us through the Apostle Paul that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Then he said again, he says, we always triumph. What you crying about? Amen. You see, we got to get to the place where we embed in our consciousness what he said about us. And then in the face of adversity, we stand up and declare who we are and what we have.
Come on.
And it has to come forth. Amen. I didn't say you wouldn't get knocked down, but you will get up. Amen. See, the fight is not over because you got knocked down. Amen. You remember what Mickey told Rocky? Get up! You ain't heard no bell. That's what God's saying to you. Get up! Every time you get knocked down, God says, get up! You ain't heard no bell. You ain't heard no bell, boy. Get up! Amen. And let's put it together. Let's put it together. Amen. You know, now it's taken me some years to get here. But I invest all of my confidence in the word of God. And if I do that, I've invested it in God. You see, we trust the beggarly elements of this world too much. Amen. And this world don't guarantee you nothing. The guarantee comes from God. World don't guarantee you nothing but death. Amen. I don't want to be nothing more than I want to be a believer who believes God and stand on his word. I don't be nothing more. There ain't nothing else I want to be more than that. Now, there's some other things I want to be, but guess what? Not more than that. You ever notice how you can invest time in all those other things in life? That's because your focus is here. Anything you do in life, you're only going to do it for so long, and then you're not going to be able to do it no more. But when we make investments in the things of God, that's eternal, man. Sure. Wake up and smell some coffee here. There's some coffee in the house. Amen. So doers of the word, becoming a doer of the word is very valuable to you. Are you still with me? Now, keep me abreast of my time. See, give first place to the word. Amen. See, I turn my whole life over to the Father. Have you did that yet? Today is a good day to do it. See, to turn your whole life over to the Father. Today is a good day to do it. To just turn your whole life over to the Father. Amen. Father God, I turn over my whole life to you. All my affairs, everything. Wouldn't that be nice? Yes, it would. Amen. Now, said that, and I want to say that, and I got this, and oh, dear Jesus. Whoa, look. And I just finished the first page. Let me show you something in John. Where my time? How much time I got? What that mean? You giving that to me? These people don't give. These people don't give me that time, that kind of time. All right. I got three closings to make. See, I got three closings to make. Amen. Just three. Go to John 15. I want to show you something briefly here, and I'll probably stop in this area. Amen. Saints playing in the dome today? Huh? What time they start? Huh? Noon? Okay. I got all y'all in mind, Saints fan. Y'all gonna go cheer for the Saints. Boy, y'all need to cheer for Jesus too now. Aren't you on his team?
Yes, sir.
Sure. Now, let's look at this. John 15, 5 through 8. I want to read these verses. And I want to show you something here. I am the vine. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Now, verse 6, right. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, yes, Lord, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Got it? All right. Now let's break into this here. All of this ties into becoming a doer of the word, you see. Now I want you to see how it ties in. Amen. Now, every born-again believer abideth in Jesus. That issue has been settled. If you've received Christ as your Savior, made him your Lord, then you abide in him. Go back to verse 5. Read verse 5. Listen at it. Now, this took place in the new birth. See, you abide. When you received Jesus, that was the beginning of him abiding in you and you abiding in him. See, you got that issue settled. Amen. Now, the word abide here actually means to stay in a given place to dwell in. See, that's what the word abide there implies. See, it implies to stay in a given place to dwell in. In other words, to live in. As a believer in Christ, you dwell in the body of Christ. See, you are in the body of Christ. When did you get in the body of Christ? The day you received Christ as your Savior. You were added to the body of Christ, so placed into the body of Christ. So therefore, Christ abides in you. Now, in this verse, Jesus talks about bearing much fruit. Now, what kind of fruit is he talking about? Now, I've read that verse for many years about bearing fruit. You've read that verse for many years, too. Some of you who've been in the Lord a while, you read that. But did you ever think about what he was talking about? Did you ever think about that? Just saw that word fruit and said, bless the Lord, hallelujah. Bear fruit. Now, what kind of fruit is he talking about? He's talking about the same kind of fruit that Jesus bore. He's talking about the fruit of prayer. He's talking about the fruit of prayer. Amen. The fruit of love. The fruit of faith. See, these are the same kind of fruit that Jesus bore. You know, when I first saw that, see, I thought he was talking about other people. Bear fruit. I thought that meant, you know, you'll go get other people. And you were bearing fruit as you gathered other people to be in the body. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the same fruit Jesus bore. Now, eventually it all leads to that. But he's talking about bearing the fruit of prayer, the fruit of love, the fruit of faith. He said, if you abide in him, see, you'll produce the fruit. You'll be a person of prayer. You'll be a person of faith. You'll be a person of love. Isn't that wonderful? You see. And then you look at your life and say, man, I ain't bearing no fruit. I ain't got nobody saved. You don't get them saved anyway. You lead them to Jesus and he saves them. See, it's not talking about that. It's talking about prayer, faith, and love. He said, now, if you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll be a person of prayer just like I was. Jesus is still a person of prayer. You know what the Bible says? He sits at the right hand of God making intercession for us. See, become a person of prayer. You won't be so quick to criticize people. You'll stand in the gap for them, make up the hedge. If Jesus abide in you and you abide in him. See, now, it's no problem. It's no question of the fact that Jesus abides. Jesus abides in us. Now, we have to abide in him. What are you talking about, abide in him? He's talking about abide in the way he does things. When I allow him, see, when I abide in him, I do what he do. Well, y'all little bracelet. How many of y'all got your bracelets on? What would Jesus do? Hold your bracelet up. Oh, y'all left it home? All right. But now, here's what I'm talking about. Here's what I'm talking about. You see, you do what Jesus do. Jesus was a man of prayer. Jesus was a man of love. Jesus was a man of faith. That's the fruit he's talking about. Now, look at verse 7 and 8. Let's look at verse 7 and 8 again. 7 and 8. He said, if ye abide in me, now watch this part, and my words abide in you, so shall ye ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, we're going to read verse 8 in a moment. But now, let's go back to verse 5. That's where we were at first. Look at it. Watch this. Watch it. Read it. You read it.
I am the vine, you are the branches.
Uh-huh.
He that abideth in me, and I in him, but without me, ye can do nothing.
Now, as he goes along in this, because see, he's giving them a little message here, Doug. But as he goes along, he explains what he's talking about in verse 7. Now, read verse 7. He explains what he's talking about. See, when he says, we abide in him, he was really talking about the word there. See, we abide in him. meaning we abide in the Word. See, Jesus and the Word are one. Now watch this here. Hold on right there. See, man, y'all working me. But that's okay. I need to work. Look at St. John chapter 1, verse 14. I believe it's verse 14. Am I right, Doc? Am I right, sir? I know you know. But this is the man right here. All right, sir. All right. Now why? Watch what he says here. See, Jesus and the Word are one. Everybody back, shake yourself. See, I won't do it. He said, and the Word was made flesh. Jesus is the incarnate, what it is? One. That's what he is. Are y'all still here?
Yeah.
Amen. I can say that word while I'm talking. Now, so the Word and Jesus is one. Now, when we get back into the 15th chapter, he starts in verse 5 talking about, see, you abide in him. He said, what did he say? He abide in us, right? Mm-hmm. And we abide in him. Mm-hmm. See, we abide. He's talking about you abiding in the Word. He unveils the thing in verse 7.
Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
Look what he says in verse 7 again. Mm-hmm. Let's go back to John 15:7. If ye abide in me, he's letting you know what he's talking about, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will. And it shall be done unto you. Now that's a bold statement. He said, you ask me for what you will. Providing my word abide in you. Now Jesus is smart. Because he knows that if the Word abides in you, you can't ask anything out of his will. Because the Word is his will. But verse 7 kind of blows you up. Verse 8 blows you away. Now watch this here. Look at verse 8. Herein, is my Father glorified.
Right.
See, his Father is your Father.
Right.
That ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciple. Now, I already told you what those fruits were. He said that you bear much fruit. That you bear much fruit. What is he talking about? He's talking about prayer, love, and faith. That you be strong in prayer, love, and faith. Amen. Now, the Word, I'm almost finished here, living in the doer, the Word living in him by the same measure that he lives it out. Now, what am I saying to you? See this whole thing here. See, God is glorified. See? In us, as we live out the Word. God is glorified in us as we live out the Word. You see? Because as we live the Word, it shows forth the glory of God. And therefore, God is glorified. Whoa, Jesus. You see. Now, what will happen to your life? What your life would be like if it shows forth the glory of God? What would it be like?
Come on.
Now, I'm going to tell you, what it takes people a lifetime to do, all of the work that people putting into trying to be and become this and that, it would be yours just for the giving. Jesus told us that in Matthew 6:33. He says, first seek ye the kingdom of God. And all these things which the Gentiles seek after shall be added unto you. Jesus said, you ain't got to work for it. Just do what I tell you and I'll bring it to you. I'll deliver it to you. Just do what I tell you. I got to stop right here. But I'm not finished. But I got to stop right here due to the infirmity of your flesh. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. 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 I lost the back row. First and two back rows, 3 minutes into it. I'm just kidding. Don't y'all be offended. Y'all still with me. Pray like it. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. Won't somebody just jump up and give God some praise? Give God some glory. Give God some